Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to CU TV News Radio. It's a delight to have you back with us again. I'm Doug Llewellyn, your host. Listen, we're going to talk about a subject today that you very rarely hear talked about on the radio, actually on television either. You don't hear it discussed much in the media or focused on, but it's a very, very important subject. And it is all basically wrapped around how well you speak. Public. Can you speak in public? Are you scared to death of speaking in public? A lot of people are. I mean, seriously, really afraid to speak in public. And not only that, many people are afraid to go to networking events. They're afraid to so-called network. And they're also even afraid to pick up the telephone and have conversations. If that includes you, you really need to pay attention here. But, and let's face it, you know, if you're in business, it can be very detrimental to your career if either one of those things are something that really bothers you. Now, public speaking, I must admit, that's a little bit different. You can have a good business career and not speak in public. But if you are able to speak in, if you are able to get up in front of a group and talk, or even in front of a large organization of people and talk, it can really be a big help to you. Anyway, for people who are in that category, we have a guest today who has a practice called Vibrant Vocal Power. She's located in the suburbs of Detroit, and she works with people all over the country in person as well as on the phone. She talks to groups. Her goal is to help people get over this fear of public speaking. As she puts it, there are two types of public speakers, those who are nervous, and then there are those who are liars. Indeed, public speaking is considered to be one of the greatest fears a person can have, even greater than death, if you can believe that. And it really can prevent you from discovering and using your unique voice, and from speaking the truth, and from reaching your personal and business goals. There is so much in this subject, and I think it's a fascinating one to be talking about on CU TV News Radio today. So we're delighted to have you with us, and now I would like you to meet our guest today. Her name is Marjorie Salson, and Marjorie is standing by to join us. If I can get the microphone to, but there we go. All right. Marjorie, good morning. How are you? You with us?
Good. I am absolutely with you, and I thank you for attributing that great quote to me about two types of speakers, but it's actually Mark Twain who said that the two types of speakers are those who are nervous and those who are liars. So you've put me in very good company, Doug.
You're absolutely right. I'm sorry about that, but good, we straightened that out. In any event, tell me a little bit about how you got into this field of helping people who are you know, they're fearful of public speaking. There aren't a lot of people like you around, you know? You don't hear about them. So tell me a little bit about how you got into doing this.
Well, I really got into it because, in a way, it was my own problem. There's a wonderful quote from John Greenleaf Whittier that says, "Of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." And frankly, we all have might have beens. We can all look back and say, well, gee whiz, if I'd only had the guts to say that or make that suggestion. Or, you know, there's so many times when people are just afraid to open their mouths and then they miss an opportunity or they're in a meeting. I have some of my clients, they sit through meetings, they're nervous through the whole meeting. God forbid somebody should call on them and they have to say something, they'll feel like a fool and whatever. So I call public speaking anytime you talk to somebody besides yourself. And you're absolutely right that most people don't have to get on stage and give speeches a lot, but we all have to talk to other people in our lives. And if you're afraid to pick up the phone and make a call for your business, well, there's an automatic no, and you've said no to yourself first.
Well, that's so true. But can you tell me why you think people are, I mean, let's focus on public speaking. Or
sure.
Maybe not. Tell me what you think. I mean, for somebody who's afraid to pick up a telephone, that's not public speaking. I mean, you can be at your desk and pick up the phone. Why are people afraid to do that? Where does the fear come from? What are they afraid of?
Well, there are three things, and actually it does apply to all types of public speaking, and I call them the unholy trinity of public speaking fears. And the first is fear of criticism. We really hate it when we say something and somebody jumps all over us. And the second is fear of rejection. Are you full of, you're nuts, that's crazy, that's the stupidest idea I ever heard. And fear of rejection, really, Doug, that goes back to caves. That is a primal fear. You got kicked out of the cave or the tribe in those days, that was kind of a sentence of death. So fear of rejection's a biggie. And the other biggie, of course, is fear of failure. I mean, we just hate to fail. And so those three things really keep people constrained and keep their mouths shut, and they miss all these opportunities in life.
All right, let's focus on a couple of areas, and I don't want to get to public speaking a little bit down the road, because I consider public speaking, you know, where you get in front of a group and have to talk, and you know, you're the focus of attention. But what about, number one, people who talk about being afraid to network? In other words, you know, that means go to cocktail parties, go to meetings where you're standing around, you're talking with other folks, you are networking. And that's the same thing as talking on the phone. How do you encourage people and help them get over that kind of fear? Because really, if you can't do that, boy, you really are severely hampered in your efforts to succeed in life, aren't you?
It's absolutely true. I mean, you can be, in some occasion, whether it's networking or you meet somebody at an event and somebody asks, so what do you do? And you sit there and you hem and haw, or you start talking and you either turn, you know, you're afraid you're coming across like a sleazy person or a salesy, or you're boring people to death. The crucial grounded thing that you really need to have is to be really sure that you have a message worth sharing. That I call overcoming your fears the what, how, and allow. The what is your message? Are you really clear about what kind of message you want to give, what service you offer, how you can help people? If you don't know that message, you are really behind the eight ball. No actor gets on the stage without knowing a script. So people really need to know, Doug, what they have to offer and what their purpose is in even opening their mouths. That's the first step.
All right, I can appreciate that. What do you do to help them? How does your service, Vibrant Vocal Power, maybe before you answer that, why don't you explain to me what Vibrant Vocal Power is? What do you do?
Okay, Vibrant Vocal Power is the name of my business because I want to help people really come into the power of their own voices, their own messages, and to do it in a way that's vibrant, and so that they can use their voice in sharing what they do with the world. And the first part, of course, is the what. What is your message? The second is the how. How do you present it? How do you do that? How do you speak? How do you just take care of yourself? If you are giving a speech, do you get there ahead of time and make sure that the microphone is working properly, if you're using notes, do you number the pages so if God forbid you drop them, you can put them back in order? There's all kinds of little details in the how that can get people to feel more comfortable. And then the allow part, of course, is allowing yourself to do it, and then I help people with a lot of different techniques to help them reduce their nervousness. Because it actually is actually good, and people don't believe this, but it really is good to be a little bit nervous before you speak.
Yes, no, it is. I agree with that. How did you get into this? Did you have a problem early in your life with public speaking and learned how to overcome it? Or what brought you into this field?
Well, part of it was cultural or gender bias, you might say. When I was growing up, the message that was given to me as a girl was, don't be too smart, the boys won't like it. And there are all kinds of studies that show that either women or people who are culturally considered less than different minority groups, voices are not listened to and taken seriously. And when you are, you know, if you grow up with a lot of criticism, whether you're male, female, or whatever, or a lot feel a lot of rejection, that constrains you from sharing, you know, what you have to offer. So having worked through a lot of this stuff myself, I just became really passionately committed to helping other people do this because, you know, they say when people are at the end of their lives and hospice volunteers say that people don't regret so much what they did do, they regret what they didn't do. They're what right. might have been. And so much of that what might have been was fear of speaking and reaching out.
Do you, I'm trying to think, ask how you actually encourage and teach people to do this. Did you ever go to a coach yourself or someone who taught, you know, public speaking to learn these methods yourself? I'm wondering how you got out of the problem.
Well, Doug, I must confess, I am what is known as a perpetual student. I am always studying and learning and trying to expand my own skills and my own abilities, because the more I learn and the more I grow myself, the more I can help other people do the same. So I actually have been, you might say, working on public speaking since I had a class that was called auditorium when I was in junior high school. I guess they call it middle school now. But I've been working on this, I guess, in one way or another all my life, and I have definitely taken specific courses in copywriting, for example. I am one of the few people I know who can help people with all three pieces of the effective communication, the what do you say, how do you present it, and allowing yourself to present it. And I've done a lot of work personally on various modalities to help people reduce their nervousness so that they can use any nerves they feel in a positive way, so they can use that nervous energy and enthusiasm to what they're saying, instead of, you know, allowing it to squelch their inner fire. So I keep studying.
That sounds fascinating to me. Now, I pointed out you're located in the Detroit area.
Right.
Suppose somebody is hearing this in Cincinnati or in San Francisco. Can you work with them? Do you work with them on the telephone and things of that nature?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We can use the phone. We can use Skype. We can use Zoom. There are so many modalities these days that make it so much easier to share with people in a very personal way, even if you're not sitting next to each other or across the table from each other. And
you
it's
even
really
have
wonderful.
You have an online course as well, am I right?
Yes. Yes, I have an online course, and I'm actually giving some free webinars about it. And what people can do if they'd like to find out about it is they can actually get my free report, which will put them into my system, and then they'll get an invitation. The free report is 10 powerful pathways for overcoming your public speaking fears, even if you have struggled with them for years. And there's a very easy way to access it. The URL is overcomeyourspeakingfears.com. That's overcomeyourspeakingfears.com. And that actually takes people to a place where they can sign up for that, and they can also get to my website. And I have a ton of articles in my blog, on my blog, about all kinds of things relating to public speaking and nerves and business and messaging and marketing, all the things you really need to get the word out that you've got something wonderful to share with the world.
And that website is vibrantvocalpower.com, correct?
That's correct, correct. Vibrantvocalpower.com.
Yeah, it's a really great website.
Yeah, thank you. If people go there, if any of your listeners go there, Doug, Right now on the navigation bar on the right on the navigation bar, there's a direct link to signing up for a webinar. It
okay,
says,
very
Speaking
good.
Secrets webinar.
Yeah, no, I'm on it right now. I'm looking at it right now. So, again, to repeat the website, folks, it's vibrantvocalpower.com, and that's Marjorie's, obviously. That's her website for her practice, which is called Vibrant Vocal Power. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you do and actually how you go about helping people. What's the process like? It would seem to me, obviously, it would be great to be with you in person to do it. I know you do this with groups as well in person, right?
Yeah, I've taught all kinds of workshops on public speaking and organizing your thoughts and how to put together even a sales letter. You know, the message that you have, it has to be clear. It has to be clear not only if you're speaking to somebody, but say you send a follow-up email or you leave a message and you want to send a follow-up email. You've got to be able to compose that in such a way that it makes sense and it's intriguing. And not only that, that it does not follow what I call the big blob of text in a small font graphic school of design. I mean, we've all gotten these emails that are this huge blob of text. It's like stream of consciousness that goes on and on and on. You can't read it. So I help people with that aspect of communication as well. It's just as important when you're communicating with people to be able to follow up. And, of course, I'm a big, big, big believer in the handwritten thank you note. That is so powerful, and so few people take advantage of that.
You know, that as I've heard many say that, you know, that the handwritten notes almost disappeared. I'm so impressed because you really are dealing in so many different areas. You don't just deal with vibrant vocal power. I mean, when you hear that, you think it's, well, how does someone speak? How do they their voice? You know, it's like teaching them how to talk. You're really teaching and working on a lot more than just that. I mean, really, you're teaching, if you're working on how to write a letter, how to write a presentation, how to put together a website and what to say on a website, or, you know, on an email. This is a lot more than just vocal power.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, though, is that I actually do help people. A lot of people hate how they sound. They listen to themselves on you know, on a video that they've made or a recording, they, oh, I can't believe I sound that bad. So one of the things I do, because I am a trained singer and voice actor, so I do help people who don't like the sound of their voices to improve the resonance and the vocal power that of their voices. So, and when you have a voice that has resonance, and you certainly do, that's your business, but you come across with much more authority and much more an expert status than if you're talking up here and they're, oh God, no. People want to hear a voice that resonates, and I help people get that.
I've found most people don't like, I have rarely found anyone, you know, who doesn't dislike the way they sound. When they hear themselves, they are just embarrassed for the most part. Unless they're trained, you know, but the first time they hear themselves, they almost die. They, oh God, I can't believe I sound like that. So how do you help people if that's the condition that they have a problem? They come to you. Do you give them vocal lessons? Do you give them classes? Do you record them and let them listen back and things of that nature? Is that how you go through and help? What's the process?
Well, first thing I explain to people is sometimes they're just surprised about how their voice sounds, because
right,
people hear themselves through inside their own head. And when they record something, say a video or any type of recording, all of a sudden they're hearing their voice from outside. It's coming. So that's the first thing, is to get people to understand you are never going to sound in a recording or in a video like you sound in your head, because the sound is coming differently. But there's something very simple that people can do, and I can share it right now, and that's simply to yawn. This sounds very silly. Yawn, yawn, I do it all the time. But I mean a really big, big yawn and deep breathing when you're doing it, and that does three wonderful things. First of all, before you're going to speak, when you are yawning and breathing deeply, you are sending your body a very visceral message that you are safe. that there is no tiger about to pounce. It really helps reduce your level of nervousness. And the second thing that yawning deeply like that does is it opens up the space between your back teeth, what's called the hinge. And your mouth is an important resonating chamber when you're producing your voice. And people, when they get nervous or they even have this habit of clenching their teeth, and so when they speak with their teeth clenched, you can hear the difference with sounds. You lose the whole resonance of your mouth. In fact, my very first voice teacher, who was an opera singer with New York City Opera, said that one of her fellow opera singers would spend at least 5 minutes before any performance backstage yawning widely, simply to reduce his nervousness and also to open up that resonating chamber so that when he started to sing, his voice would come out with much more resonance and power. And that same technique works just as well for speaking as it does for singing. So that's a technique that anybody can apply. It'll reduce your nervousness, and it will help improve the sound of your voice. And if you're somebody who periodically or has a problem with clenching your jaws a lot, that's something I really recommend. And you don't need any special tools. You just cover your mouth with your hand and go for it.
That's a good tip. That's a very good tip. Do you find that one of the big problems that people have in speaking is the fact that they just simply don't have confidence in what they do? That they really lack confidence?
Absolutely. And there's two parts of that I really feel. One is that they haven't really clarified what they want to share. The first thing I do when I work with people is we really sit down and talk very carefully about what do they want to achieve? What are their goals? Whom do they want to serve? What type of issue do they want to help people with? And this doesn't just apply to people who are teachers or coaches or communicators. I mean, if you're an auto mechanic and somebody's coming to you with their car, you need to be able to explain after you have fixed it or if you see what the problem is in such a way that a civilian like I am, who's not a mechanic at all, can understand what my car needs. And then you need to be able to explain to me what you've done so that I'll feel that it's safe for me to get back in my car and drive it again. Everybody needs these kinds of good communication skills, no matter what you do. And so really understanding what it is you're doing and how you're serving people, that's the foundation. The second piece is to get really clear that not everybody needs what you have to offer. This is something I learned when I've done a lot of work raising money for volunteer organizations, and I used to get really, really upset when I would call somebody and ask for a donation and get turned down. And I finally came to realize that my job was simply to share the information about something that I felt it was worthwhile for this person to do, and it was the other person's responsibility to decide whether or not that fit in with their particular philanthropic goals. I mean, even Warren Buffett can't give money to everybody who asks him, and what about the rest of us? And as far as our services go, not everybody needs my help. There are people who are perfectly comfortable with speaking, messaging, marketing, and so if I share with them what I do and they're not interested, that does not reflect back on me. So one of the really important things, Doug, is for people to stop taking no's personally. No, yeah, simply means either that's not something that fits for them that they need, or this may not be the right time for them. That doesn't mean that I can't keep working on getting better and better and better on sharing what I do so that more people will understand it more clearly and more people are likely to say yes to me. But taking that idea that people who say no are not rejecting me personally, but this what I'm offering just isn't right for them, that really helps reduce that fear of rejection, that fear of criticism, that fear of failure. And as far as criticism goes, you have to consider the source. we all know people whom I would designate as either Billy Bully or Sally Sniper. I mean, you know, whatever comes out of their mouth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to ask yourself, do you really respect this person's opinion who's giving you a hard time, you know? And if somebody does criticize what you're doing, if you can reframe it and think of it, well, maybe that's a suggestion. And is there something I can learn from what they're saying? If they're saying no to me, is there something I can learn? And there's always something new to learn. So if
sure,
you take any no or any criticism or whatever and say, what can I learn from this? Instead of, oh, geez, there I go, a failure again. If you can turn that around, I mean, Thomas Edison supposedly experimented with like 6,000 different things until he was able to actually find something and create the incandescent light, a light bulb, which we take for granted, of course, today. So, and the other thing, if toddlers invested in falling down every time they're trying to walk, you know, invested the kind of negative emotion we do, we'd all be on all fours.
These are all great points you're bringing out, Marjorie. There are a couple of quick questions I want to get to you before we run out of time, and we are running out of time. I assume you work with clients on a one-on-one basis. How long typically will you work with them? I mean, do you do a monthly session, you know, one time a week for an hour for a month or more? Do you do that kind of thing? How does it work?
Basically, there are two types of ways that I work with people. One is I work with people a minimum of 6 months, and that's three times a month with, you know, extra emergency contact in between. Because people who, you know, there's so much that people need to learn, and just doing a one-hour one-off or once a month just isn't going to cut it. But sometimes I have people come to me, oh, my goodness, I got to give this huge report, and I got to create a PowerPoint, and I got to do all this, and I don't know how to organize, and da-da-da-da. And with those people, I do deep dive VIP emergency kind of work, where we do a lot of work in a short period of time. Because that does happen, and sometimes people are really perfectly comfortable with a lot of ordinary kind of communication. When they have to all of a sudden give a keynote or make a big scientific presentation or whatever, they need emergency help, and so I do VIP days with those people.
Okay. The other quick question, typically, who do you find you work with? Do you work with business executives? Do you work with, you know, you tell me. Who do you find you work with primarily?
I work with not only business executives, people who are in sales, people who need to do a lot of presentations in their daily life, people who are required to do a lot of networking and feel uncomfortable, people who have to do a lot of phone calling for their business. In fact, one of the units in my online course is labeled End Sales Call Terror Forever. There are people who would, you know, who would think, well, maybe I better do these 3,004 things on my to-do list before I pick up the phone.
Yeah. Wow, I know. Listen, Marjorie, we've run out of time. Marjorie's going to be back with us again next week, folks. She'll be here with Jim Masters 1 week from today at the same time. She'll cover a lot more. There's so much to this whole subject. And Marjorie, I really thank you for taking the time to talk with us. Our guest has been Marjorie Salson. She's in the Detroit area. If you're in and around Detroit, you know, you can actually work with Marjorie in person. Her practice is called Vibrant Vocal Power, and as we pointed out, she works with folks on Skype, on the telephone. There are many different ways, and the thing you must do is go to her website, vibrantvocalpower.com, and you will find there are connections so you can get onto her online course that she has and learn a lot more about the various kinds of things that she does and how she helps people. Marjorie, you're just fascinating. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. This has been amazing. Okay?
It's been a pleasure to be with you, Doug.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. We're out of time, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time here on Close Up Talk Radio, where we have some of the greatest guests on radio anywhere. Bye for now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.